Hi, this is Andrew Peepoy. You may know me best for my work on The Simpsons, Fables, and many other comics. But last year, I ran my first and successful Kickstarter for The Adventures of Simone and Ajax, my own creation about a girl and her small cartoony dinosaur and their wacky adventures. Did you miss that Kickstarter? Well, don't worry. I moved that campaign over to Indiegogo In Demand, and you can find out all about the 128-page full-color book there. Just go to peepoy.com, P-E-P-O-Y.com, or simoneandajax.com, S-I-M-O-N-E, and ajax.com, and you can click on the link there for Indiegogo. You'll see it on the top right of your screen. I hope you'll check it out. Thanks a lot, and see you there.
Hello?
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. Okay, Lips. Yeah. I'm going to call you Lips.
Lips. I tried changing that.
Lips Houlihan.
That's perfect.
So that was her name in MASH, right?
Was it? I don't know. Mm. I don't remember.
I think they called her Lips. Hot Lips. But her last name was Houlihan, right?
Houlihan? Okay. I don't remember. I'm sure you're right, though.
I don't know. I don't even watch MASH. My dad watched it.
I didn't watch a lot of MASH.
I didn't get the humor.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Has your weather been okay?
Yeah. It's been all right. We had some sunshine today and yesterday, so we got up to the 40s. Today we'll get up to the 30s.
I'm looking forward to the high 30s. We haven't had that in about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I was able to take Harley for a long walk, and Barb took her for a walk on Friday, so we should be good until Wednesday.
Oh, more snow?
Yeah.
Hmm. I feel bad for our late lady friend in Baltimore.
Did they get hit bad?
I think they just got snow.
I know, but that's Baltimore. I thought Baltimore got snow. Did they not get snow?
No, I mean, not much. Not often. Maybe they got more than like.
No, but is it like Texas, like freaky? Like you don't usually get snow and now you get snow?
I don't know. I think that this is just, I'm thinking, I think they get it a lot more often than Texas.
Yeah, I was on the Speculator Web's Facebook page. The, what is it called? Comic Speculation and Investing. They're the ones that do the Hot 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was an article in there about Mylar, and all kinds of people are going to E. Gerber now, and I'm like, God damn it. Son of a bitch. That's all I need to do is have to wait 2 months for the next one.
Exactly. It's like, come on. They're going to have to hire more staff and maybe get an online presence to actually place an order instead of just look at their stuff.
Yeah, that's weird. It's very archaic.
It's extremely weird.
Like, I don't know. I can't name any other company besides that one that you have to call. That I shop with.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. So
but
hopefully
that lady
I'll,
is very, very
I'll
nice.
Get in on Monday and hopefully they'll be back and I'll be able to place an order. I'm just going to order 2,000. I'm going to start ordering them by the 2,000 so I don't have to worry about them.
Wow. That's a, that
because I never could.
Last me at least a year.
Yeah, not me. Plus I have a whole closet that I'd like to bag and board and at some point.
Yeah.
So I saw another freaky movie. Well, I told you about Greta, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I wrote it down.
Greta was pretty freaky. It has some of the same tropes, but they do really good stalker horror. But the new one we watched is a different kind of horror. It's like real life horror. It's like how do they treat older people? You know, like how does people take advantage of the elderly, financially and take everything away from them? And there's a new movie on Netflix called I Care a Lot.
I think I saw it featured when we were just.
Yeah, it's very
Yeah, we were on there
interesting.
yesterday.
You should watch the clip.
Yeah.
Diane Weiss
Oh,
is
yeah, I
in it
know.
as the older lady. She's
Parenthood?
the Lost Boys. Yeah,
Yeah, and
Parenthood.
Parenthood, too, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, I know
she's
who
the
you're talking
mother in
about.
Parenthood, where her son's jacking off all the time. She has to be the mother and the father.
Leaf Phoenix. Before it was
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Yep.
Yeah,
I got confused with him. I thought I got confused with River and him, but yeah, he was Leaf.
he was Leaf.
Yeah, before he
Thank you.
became Joaquin the Joker.
Yeah.
I love the Joker. God, I love that movie. Yeah, this movie's freaky. It's on Netflix, and it makes you so. It's one of those movies where you almost root for the. Everybody's bad, so it's like hard to root for somebody, you know? But you definitely root for Diane Weiss, or whatever her name is. That's the one you want to root for.
Yeah.
But if there are organizations out there that do this, like, it's terrifying, you know,
Like
because
without spoiling, what's the basic idea?
is she stalks and finds out financially how these older people are, and then she has a doctor that convinces them that they can't take care of themselves, even though they can. And the state puts them in charge of her in charge of them. And she basically goes in and sells all their assets and puts them in a home.
Interesting.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah. So
Crazy
it's.
scary, man.
Yeah, I saw that you said it's not so much a horror as it is suspense.
Yeah. It is horror, I think. I think it's horror because it's real life horror.
Yeah.
It happens all the time with my parents. I mean, all the phone calls and things that they get, and you have to tell them, "Don't do it. It's not right." They wouldn't do that. They stalk on the elderly, and they
It's
steal
it
their
is disgusting.
identities and steal their money, and it's not good.
No, not
That's where we need Frank Castle to go after those motherfuckers.
at That's right.
Was our
Yeah.
Saturday night movie.
We've been watching a lot of Kim's Convenience.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you last time that it's a sitcom. But, oh my God, I laugh so hard at that show.
I think the only comedy I watch now is The Goldbergs.
I don't watch that.
And it's more pop culture comedy. Like, it's not like laugh out loud to me comedy, but it's cool
Yeah.
because it's like in the 80s and the early 90s and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely a retro vibe
Yeah.
from being a kid at the time.
It's based on a true story. I mean,
It's
Adam
that
Goldberg,
same guy, right?
yeah, and he writes comic books too. He writes currently for Zenoscope or Zenoscope. conspiracy.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you get any Xenoscope books or no?
No, not really. Every once in a while, I'll pick something up, but I get very—I don't get anything regularly.
Do you get
What
a
was that?
Blaze?
No, I got a couple. Were they the ones that did the Sumerian?
The Sumerian and Gung Ho.
Yeah, I've gotten some Sumerian, but that's probably the only thing that I've gotten.
Gung Ho is my favorite book. Like I don't keep caught up on comics, but I keep caught up on Gung Ho.
Really?
I love that book.
It's good, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's very
Yeah.
addictive.
I've been getting a lot of Kickstarters have been coming in again suddenly after a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, I got one called Merc. It's called
Mark,
Merc Magazine, and it looks
didn't get that
gorgeous.
one. Must
It's
have
that
missed that one.
James Tyndale or whatever. He
Oh,
draws
you
a
actually
lot.
got something from her?
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as that other guy.
Well, he's the one that has done stuff for what, White
Wait, what all?
Widow?
I'm still waiting for that Boys Don't Cry thing that came out
Oh,
at
that I
another
have already?
shop like 2 months ago. I'm still waiting for that.
Have you pinged them?
They've been sending their own little updates,
Yeah.
basically. Oh, it's just, it's stuck. We got it through, that one's coming through China, and because of the pandemic, everything's
Yeah, but
delayed.
why do stores have it first? Like, that's just so
That's what
fucked up.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, there's one I want to support now with Betty Page and Dynamite, but I don't want to do it if it's going to come out in previews.
Oh, I saw your tweet that you just put. Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, I'm not doing any more Kickstarters on anything from White Widow. I did get the or James Tyndale.
This
I did get.
was not that company though. This was like a different company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I haven't gotten any White Widow, so I saw that they were kickstarting like the first book or whatever, which was, I don't know if it was 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 or something. So I kickstarted that, and I'm still waiting for that too. And then I figure everything from that point on, I'll just get through previews. So if it comes, it comes.
Yeah, it's like it's alive. I'll just go to previews. It's alive though. Is guaranteed shaft. That guy's a joke.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I can't believe we actually ended up. I don't know if you downloaded it, but I did download the digital copy of that Lonely War of whatever. I can't remember what it's called. That
Yeah.
act.
So at least you got something. I didn't download it.
I downloaded it just so I have it. I haven't read it. I want to read the actual physical copy, but I don't know if that's ever going to come. Now
Yeah.
he's doing GoFundMes. I mean, he's all over the place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unbelievable.
So you can't make tonight, huh?
No, I can't go. I can't do the morning and
And the
the evening.
evening.
It's just too much for my wife to just have to take care of the kids all the time. So I just have to pick.
Yeah. Did you get your
I
Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
got my coffee,
Yeah.
and I was sitting watching. Stacy was playing a Lego game on the PlayStation, so I was sitting there watching that, and I almost was going to be late because I was sitting on the throne. I'm like, oh my, this is taking longer than I expected.
You're on the bathroom.
Yeah, I had to jump off of there to get logged in on time after sitting in the living room for 45 minutes doing nothing.
You should have just IM'd me.
That was fine.
You know, I had to eat before
Everything
Barb
came up.
made blueberry pancakes, and I was trying to scarf them down before we came
Oh,
on to record anyway. And if you would have said, "I need 5 more minutes," then I
that's
wouldn't have woofed them down as fast.
You can eat during the show. I mean, you and Bill, you say all the time, it's geek brunch.
Yeah. I was trying to avoid it.
Yeah, no, it's no problem. But yeah, so I've gotten that. I got a few Kickstarters. I got Pop Kill 3 and 4 came in. I did get the Noctera hardcover.
I don't think I got the new Pop Kill, but I
It's
went
probably
with the Amanda Connor exclusive.
I just got it, so
Yeah.
it's probably on its way to you. And
What
then I ordered.
else did you get?
Oh, that Noctera. Snyder, Scott Snyder,
No,
Tony James.
I didn't get that one because I knew it was gonna be in previews.
It, but this is a huge, this is enormous, oversized hardcover with all the art and the script. It's not the
If
actual comic.
yeah, but if you like that kind of stuff, then that's great. Like Nick Wetmore loves the behind the scenes stuff. I don't give two shits about it, to tell you the truth. Huh?
I'll be honest with you. If I would have known it was just the actual script and the accompany art, I
Yeah.
wouldn't have gotten it. I thought it was an oversized hardcover of the first issue. I'm like, oh, that might be kind of cool. Like, so I could
Yeah.
actually read it as a comic rather than as a script.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's the script.
That I just don't like I've done some of those God, what is that? Magnetic Press Kickstarters.
Those I do like because they're regular
Well,
comics.
I do like them and you get a lot of extra stuff,
Yeah,
but
you do.
I stopped because I could save a shitload of money and get what I really care about
Is it
through
the comic?
previews. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean,
So
that would make so much
I
sense.
try. That's why I was asking you about the Bloom thing. I was like, I didn't know if I was gonna do it. I ended up doing it, but I don't normally gonna do that. Like,
No, and
and like
going.
pal like the Palmiotti stuff, he doesn't solicit it, and if it does get solicited, it's like years later an image.
Yeah. No, I'm normally I'm with you. You know how I feel about that whole Apama universe,
I like
and
that universe. Yeah, that's really good.
yeah, and so really for me, it's like I could go on and probably what with a maybe on.
Well, what was the
BCDS, if you have
wasn't
30% discount, you might spend like $3 or three something, and
Yeah.
that's it. That's all you have to buy. But I just want to actually support him, so that's why I backed it,
Yeah.
just for that reason.
Well, wasn't there something before Bloom?
He did, yeah, he did Punchline.
Yeah, Punchline.
Yeah,
That did not get solicited.
it did. That was not solicited. That's a
So
kick. That
that
came
had a
through
different
Kickstarter.
one. So it's like you gotta keep an eye out on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what was good too, and I applaud him for this, is that he put out right in the actual like information about the Bloom Kickstarter, he put right on there, if this is going to be in previews.
Yeah.
But you know, like he wasn't trying to like not let anyone know. He said, oh, you know, if you just want the book, it's going to be in previews. If you want some of these extras, or if you want to support me or whatever, you can, you know, go through Kickstarter here, but it's going to be in both. So at least he was being upfront about it,
Yeah.
which is good. You know, you don't want to feel
Bless
like
you.
you're being taken advantage of. Tell Barb I said bless. Oh my God.
Yeah. She's sneezing away here. Blue bl bl
Oh,
blueberry blueberries are coming out of her nose. There's so many blueberries in there that it's like the plate looks purple.
God, it sounds so. I really wanted a pancake. Last night I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I should get pancakes, but
Yeah,
I
these ones were homemade, so she bought blueberries from Costco and put them in there.
delicious.
Yeah. We should if you were close to us, we'd give you some. She made like enough for like five people probably. 'Cause I only like do a stack of three. And unless I'm starving, three is like good enough. Like that's a lot.
I might have to ask Stacey to make pancakes even for dinner tonight. It just sounds really good.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh.
And yesterday we got popcorn and did a movie.
Did you get Cinemark popcorn?
Yeah.
You did.
Yep. We've been
I gotta ask
getting
Stacey
good mo we've
about.
been getting good movies lately. Like every week there seems to be something premiering.
There has been a lot of good stuff, but me and Stacey haven't sat down to watch many movies lately. We did watch
Yeah.
some. She picked something. I don't remember what it was. We watched something not long ago, but it wasn't anything brand new. I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, I think we've had some. Well, Greta wasn't brand new, but it was one movie that I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
That one really clicked with me because I like stalker movies. But the what was that movie, Barb, with M. Night Shyamalan and the old people? The Visit. Did
I
you
saw
see
that.
that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like that
Well,
one.
there is something that scares me about old people. Like,
You're
well,
gonna be
you,
staring yourself in
but do you?
another
Yeah, I'll
20
be
years.
looking in the mirror, scaring the shit out of myself.
Yeah.
I'll be like, God damn, he's not moving. What's going on? No, but like when that older woman is like underneath the house and she's chasing
Yes.
that kid. Oh my God! I'm like, holy shit! And then when she finds her real grandparents, that's pretty terrifying.
It's very terrifying.
Yeah, it's like those aren't her parents, and they're from a
That whole
mental ward.
time. Yeah.
Oh
Yeah. That was as creepy as hell.
And the woman would just do weird things at night. Like
Well,
it
she had,
would.
what did she have? Like,
I
did
don't
she
know.
have
She had
Alzheimer's or something?
something.
Yeah.
What? Sundowning. At night, she would lose it.
Yeah. Walk around.
Yeah, that is. But anyway, that's why the Greta scared me, because it's an older lady, and she makes a crazy stalker.
Maybe we'll watch something
She's a
tonight.
French actress, so yeah.
That'd be good. So my so when I texted you the other day about DCBS, it wasn't that I was freaked out. It's like it just didn't make sense to me that they're setting up another order.
Well, I don't, they didn't send it. They set
No,
up
they
another
didn't.
order.
But can they?
They
They,
I
but
don't
that
think they
just
should
means
have.
that they close it out. Like, why would they
Well,
close it out?
that's the part I don't get, because what I would do is I'd be like, well, I have next week's book. I could at least keep my employees working, right?
Yeah,
And
get everything
I don't
ready.
have to send them home. They could start working on next week's orders. But I don't understand why they put it into a FedEx number.
No.
Because I thought I could be wrong, but I maybe they have like a bulk discount with FedEx or something like that. But I thought they paid per weight. So
Well, so did I, and so
if
they
they
have
don't
to.
pay per weight, then it makes sense. Like if
Yeah.
they just have like we pay this much a month and this is how many units we ship, then
Then just whatever.
that's something different. But if you have to pay per weight and you've packaged it up, my box was like super tiny.
Yeah.
I had like Mad Magazine, I had two trades, I had the new Richard Dragon Kung Fu Fighter in there,
Me
and
too. I got that too. I'm looking forward to it.
yeah, and I read the, or I mean the Wonder Woman Volume 2, the Messner Loeb's Wonder Woman. I had that in there as well, but. It was just like the Future State stuff and a couple other stuff, you know, like
Yeah.
Batman, Catwoman, and it was small. It's the
I don't know.
smallest order I've ever gotten.
Did you visit your LCS at all this week?
Yes.
Okay. So I did too, because I still get I get some stuff from them. Did your place have missing were they missing books? Mine weren't missing anything.
They were missing DC.
They were so your place was missing DC.
Well, they were missing part of DC. They got, I guess he was supposed to get two boxes full of DC, and he only got one. But those were next week's books. They ship early. In other words, they ship on th most shops, I think, get their stuff on Thursday or Friday for the
Yeah, they
next
do.
week
Lunar? Yeah. Lunar
instead of
ships
like
pretty
on
quick.
Tuesday for the diamond stuff.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was just curious because I know all the comic shops around here, they all had all the books. In other words, they had all the books that DCBS hasn't gotten. But again, I'm on the East Coast, kind of on the East Coast. You know, it's not really the East Coast, but I'm definitely on the east side of the country. And you know, obviously Indiana's not, so they might be getting their stuff from somewhere.
What did they have? What do you mean?
Well, like, you know how DCBS said they didn't get a diamond shipment because of the weather?
Well, I guess it depends on the trucking routes.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, is that
Yeah.
that's probably what the difference is. And that's why I was just wondering
Well,
if
even my
like
comic
it was
shop had to
affecting
shut
you.
down for a couple days. They
Oh,
still
really?
might be shut down. I don't know. I went out there to add more
Why?
books to my want list because Texas lost power.
Oh, sorry. When you said that, I thought you meant your local comic shop, not
Oh no,
my
my
comic shop.
comic shop, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable. Yeah, I just misunderstood. Yeah, for sure. I was insane. A lot of the people that we would work with at work are they're centralized in Texas, and
Yeah.
it's like I talked to this one lady I'd worked with for like 20 years. She just retired a year or two ago. I texted her and she's like, yeah, she's like, I've had rolling. She actually kept power, but rolling blackouts. They would have an hour with power, an hour without power for like it was like four days.
Yeah.
And for one, they didn't have any water at all either. So I'm like, oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yeah, we just had our water heater, what you call it, drained.
Oh,
Because
you did?
we hadn't had it done in a while. You're supposed to do it every so often.
I don't think
So,
we've ever.
well, that's why people end up calling because their water heaters are leaking if you don't have it done. Because sediment builds up and then the pressure on the bottom of the tank, it craps out the bottom of it.
Makes
Be
sense.
because because it the water comes from the top.
Yeah.
And well, you drain it from the bottom, and that's where you get like the buildup of crap, like iron and stuff like that. So it just prolongs the life of your water heater if you have it drained every now and then.
Makes sense. It's probably a great idea.
Yeah, and we had quite the sediment too because it blocked one of our sinks. Like he had to unscrew the thing because there was sediment in there that was blocking water flow.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so
Did you have pretty hard water there? We have terribly hard water.
no, we have pretty good water here, to tell you the truth.
So
In New Mexico they have a lot of hard water. Like
yeah.
you notice the difference when you but we're in the like a mountainous area, so we get a lot of fresh water.
That probably makes a big
Like
difference.
even the tap water is pretty good. Like I can't.
Ours comes from Lake Erie.
Ah, there you go.
For a while, it was just around when I was a kid. It was like Lake Erie was like a joke. I don't know if being in New Mexico, you ever heard about it, but like it was like infamous about being like practically unlivable for fish and stuff like that. But they really cleaned it up after that, so it's much better.
I know it as a horror magazine, Eerie.
Erie, yeah, based on the lake.
They even do the one Kickstarter where they spell it wrong.
That's right.
So
Oh,
if
man.
they're if Creepy is suing Creeps, then I don't know why they couldn't go after Eerie
Right.
because they were the same.
Yeah, it's
They
the same stuff.
just changed the name, you know.
Yep.
But I don't think they're like stealing anything 'cause the whole what do you call it has been used before like in House of Mist, it's used everywhere. Like you have a
Oh, for
host.
sure.
It's
Yeah.
even used in the new Ambush Bug series. He's the host and he introduces you to comics that haven't been published before.
I think my whole thing with that is that they've been doing this, so they're on issue practically, what, 30, and it's every other month. It's not monthly. So they've been doing this for 6 years. What prompted suddenly now you're going to sue them? They've been doing this for 6 years.
I don't know. Maybe it was the Vampress Camellia looking so much like Vampirella. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Because Vampirella comics, I expected it to be more, at least the magazines that I've got, I expected it to be more like the comics that are Vampirella now, like stories. But I didn't know she was like a hostess that
Yeah, neither did I.
introduced stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's basically the same type of format as Creeps, just with her as the
Yeah.
host.
I like those magazines. They're really good. I like them. I get a kick
Me,
out of them.
yeah, me too. It's they're really fun to read. Really, kind of takes you back to a that older type of just anthology or storytelling that you really don't get apart from that or like maybe some Kickstarters these days.
Yeah. We could use another House of Mystery. I wish House DC would. I credit them for the Hill House books. Those were really good overall. I
Yeah,
enjoy them quite a
I
bit.
want another wave of those.
Yeah, I would like them to keep something in that horror genre.
Those were something special. Especially, I mean, I liked all of them, but like that basket full of heads was just so cool. I forget some of the other ones, but I mean, they were all really good.
Low, low, low. There was the
Yeah.
dollhouse.
Well, the Dollhouse family was good too, yeah.
What was it? Plunge.
He wrote the Pudge too, I think, right?
Yeah, he
That
did.
basket full of heads. Yeah. Yeah,
And
those were.
there was the gothic girl in the 1800s. I forget what that one
Yeah,
was.
with Kelly Jones.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called either, but yeah, it was good.
So what do you got for us today? Superboy is, I'm
Yeah,
guessing.
I'm gonna cover. I want to cover that one issue because wow, it was so cool, but it's also so Silver Age, and I'll explain what I mean by that as I go through it. But Superboy 89, I want to talk about because that's that first appearance of Mon-El, and what's cool about that one is that it has nothing like that alone that issue at the time that it came out. And nothing to do with the Legion of Superheroes at all. Like, there's no Legion of Superheroes. There's no future. There's nothing. Because this was just a one-off story. There's nothing to do with Legion.
What are you reading? Are you reading the Superboy 75-year thing, or what are you
I'm
reading?
reading the Legion of Superheroes Silver Age Omnibus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it
So it
was in
starts
there.
out with, obviously their first appearance in Adventure Comics, but then it goes to every single other appearance because they didn't have they were guest stars, they didn't have a book of their own for like 4 years. So it shows every time that they guested, and then finally in Adventure Comics 300, that's when they start appearing every issue on their own, like or with Superboy, but
Which Superboy is this? Which number?
number 89.
How's Mon-El on the cover?
Yeah.
Am I looking at the.
Yeah, Mon-El.
Oh, it's the first Mon-El. I thought it was
Yeah.
the Ultra Boy you were talking about.
No, I want to do this one because I thought it was cool that this was just like a one-off story that at the time they probably had probably no thought to ever bring this character back again, or certainly
Well,
they
maybe
didn't.
if they were going to bring him back, he would have been in a Krypton Superman or something,
Yeah,
because.
it didn't necessarily have to do with the Legion of Superheroes, but I mean it's super cool.
Do you own
Basically,
this one or no?
no, I want it though. Now I want it. I want to own it. It was just interesting to me. It was a full length story, which is a little different in those days because Superboy usually had a main story and a backup, or maybe I don't know if he even had two backups, but it's usually broken up. This one was a full story, and they see Clark as Superboy is out with his parents, and he sees a rocket falling to Earth. So he goes flying off. He grabs the rocket before it can crash, rips it open, and pulls out this strange person who's wearing red with a blue cape. And just, I never thought about it before, but it's even mentioned in the book. Superboy's like, oh, he's wearing a costume that's kind of similar to mine, except for the colors are reversed. And that's exactly what he's wearing. He's where Superboy is blue, Mon-El has red. And when Superboy has red, Mon-El has blue. They're like literally reversed costume. And I never really paid attention to that before.
I never did either, to tell you the
Oh,
truth.
so that was kind of cool too. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. So they're using it as like a, you know, kind of like a version of before this story as a version of Superman. And so this guy's kind of knocked out, and he starts going through. He sees a note that this guy had too, and it's in Kryptonese from his Superboy's father, own father, Jor-El, saying that you know that I'm sending you to Earth and stuff like that. So Clark starts putting two and two together, and he's like, oh my God, Jor-El said this chart describes a space course to be taken by my son's rocket to his journey to Earth. And he's like, oh my God, is he like my older brother? He's like, why else would Jor-El call him son? He must have sent him off first and then me, but something happened. Now he just landed. So he uses his supervision too as Mon-El's coming too. Sees he's also wearing a pendant around his neck that says, "With all our love and good wishes, Jor-El and Lara." So he's totally 100% convinced now that Mon-El is his brother. And so he starts talking to him. He's like, "Look, you've got this in Kryptonese. From Jor-El, does that name mean anything to you?" And he's like, Mon-El goes, I don't know. I have no memory. He's like, there was this big explosion and I blacked out. Now I don't remember anything except for now seeing you. So he has total amnesia, doesn't remember a thing. And so Superboy starts going through the, you know, the whole origin of himself and how he came on a rocket. And so he's now convincing this guy that the same thing must have happened to him. And they decide that he's gonna need it. Oh, before they actually get to the name, Superboy decides to start testing him because he's like, if you're from Krypton too, there's gonna be a lot of things that you can do on this planet like me. So he has him like step into the fire. He's not hurt. He has him. He they go and help this ship that's about, or this boat rather, that's about to hit a rock. And Mon-El just picks it up with ease. He can fly. It's like, yep, you're definitely my brother. anyhow, they decide that, well, they're going to have to call him something. So they're going to call him Mon-El because guess what? Clark found him on a Monday. So they just call him Mon, and obviously Jor-El, Kal-El. He's going to be Mon-El because that's their last name,
It's
right?
Monday L.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's Mondale. So
that's
I
what I
hate
would have
quite
called him.
seeing this
If he
that
came in on a
Mon-El
Tuesday, it'd have been Tuzel.
Tuzel. Yeah, didn't know he was named after Monday. It was the first time I learned that too. It was. I mean, it was like I'm learning all this stuff. I'm like, this is fantastic. So they're doing all sorts of stuff. They're helping each other and they're doing different things and. You know, Crypto stops over and he's like, "Oh, he's going to remember you." And Crypto growls and flies away. And so they both are like, "Well, maybe he's just been too long since Crypto saw me." But so he starts noticing. Clark starts getting suspicious. He notices that the metal on Mon-El's belt isn't from Krypton. And he's using his microscopic vision, and it's from an element that never existed on Krypton. He's like, this is very interesting. Something funny is going on here. So he waits for Mon-El to fall asleep, and he grabs this little piece of kryptonite that he keeps locked up in a lead box, and he opens the one panel, and flashes it directly on Mon-El while he's sleeping, and he doesn't even twitch. So. Now he's angry. He is as angry as hell. He's like, that this guy's a phony. He's pretending to be my older brother. Crypto didn't recognize him. His belt wasn't made on Krypton. Kryptonite doesn't affect him. He's an imposter. Now, keep in mind, nobody said that Mon-El was his brother except for Superboy. So now Superboy's angry that Mon-El is pretending to be his brother. But that's why I thought this was funny, because Mon-El didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Right? Like, he didn't make this up. This is what Clark decided to do.
Yeah.
So again, he's just getting, you know, he's just very angry. He's he ends up what was this whole part about? I forgot what he was doing here. I don't know if it was so Mon-El's just doing a few other things, and he's basically doing the same type of stuff as he was before, trying to help people out. But like he tries, like Lana, for example, is practicing her ballet, and Mon-El decides to when she's leaping to kind of use his super breath to, you know, so she does a tremendous jump, and he's trying to help out, but Clark takes that as like he's trying to hone in on his girl, you know. And like, oh, this guy's something else. And so he's starting to get mad. And so what ends up happening is they go to a bank that's being robbed, and it's being robbed by a very unusual method, in that these crooks are on a hilltop next to this bank, and they're using a catapult system with these big lead balls to smash into the side of the bank so they can go rob it. So they're throwing these lead balls into the wall, break through. They grab the money, they start running. Superboy teams up with Mon-El. He goes to stop them. Superboy goes to stop the people throwing the lead balls. Mon-El runs in to stop the actual people from getting the money. But Mon-El suddenly starts feeling weak and collapses. So the first thing that Clark thinks is that he's in cahoots with the crooks and pretended weakness to let them get away. So they leave and start getting a little farther away. And he's like, oh, Mon-El says, oh, I'm feeling better now. He's like, you know what? This is a bunch of crap. So he's like, I'm going to really prove that he's pulling one over on me. He goes ahead. He goes back to that catapult and takes all those lead balls and he paints them green so they look like kryptonite. And he says, okay, come on. There's a meteorite shower coming, but let's practice our baseball. And they each take a tree trunk, and they say, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start bashing these meteorites. So they start landing, and Superboy goes, oh, the meteor shower is on its way. And Mon-El says, so what? They can't harm us. We're indestructible. And Superboy's like, you're crazy. These are green kryptonite. They're deadly to us. I'm already affected. And he's pretending. He's like holding his throat and he's collapsing and stuff like that. And Mon-El starts copying him, telling the same thing. He goes, oh, you're right. It's affecting me too. I can't breathe. I feel like help. I'm dying. And Superboy thinking to himself, that miserable liar. I'm going to confront him now. He's like, all right, Mon-El, cut out the dying act. This isn't kryptonite. He's like, I painted these boulders. It's just nothing but harmless lead. And Mon-El's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can hardly move. And he's like, and then they explain that what ends up happening is that this exposure to the lead actually knocked him out of his state of amnesia. So even though now he's dying, he's like, I don't come from Krypton. My brain's been restored. I'm from Daxam. And it's like, what happens to you for kryptonite happens to us for lead, but it's permanent. So he recalls everything. He recalls how he actually, as he was flying around on his rocket ship, it conked out and he crashed on Krypton.
So he's dying and you're laughing? I don't get
Me?
it.
I'm laughing
I
because,
know.
well, I'm laughing
Poor Mon-El's dying and you're
because
laughing.
Superboy,
See, that's how
Cosmic.
you to tell a King Kong fan from a Godzilla fan right
Hey,
there.
no. Superboy allowed this to happen. I mean, he accuses him of being an imposter when he had amnesia and didn't know who he was. He was told that he's Superboy's brother. And when it turns out that he's not, he accuses him of being an imposter. Then now he actually literally is killing him because of his little trick.
Yeah.
But they go ahead and they explain that he had landed on Krypton, and this was just after the rocket, Clark's rocket had gone, and they gave him that note about how to meet his son, and that's where he got that from. They gave him the locket to give to Clark, so that's where all that happened. So he's dying now, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. So Superboy's like, "This is my fault." He's like, "I thought you were my enemy." He's like, "Hang on, we there's one solution." So he goes and he digs up the horrible, horrible weapon called the Phantom Zone Projector, and it's normally where they put criminals for the rest of their lives. But he said, "Listen, we're going to have to do this for you. At least you're going to be alive, and then I promise in the future I'll find a cure for the deadly effects of the lead, and we'll return you to the real world." So he goes ahead, and that's the last scene is he goes ahead and he sends Mon-El from being killed to the Phantom Zone. And the other thing that kind of makes me laugh is that later on, and when Mon-El finally does reappear, when I think it's like Adventure Comics 300, that first time Legion have their own book, they decide to bring him back. And like the entire time, like every time Clark mentions something about how he's got lead poisoning and he has to be in the Phantom Zone, he never mentions that it's his own fault that this happened. It's like, oh, it just turned out he had lead poisoning. Like he doesn't want to admit that it was all his fault. So
Yeah.
anyhow, by him being very jealous and stuff, he actually almost killed Mon-El, and they had to send him to the Phantom Zone for who knows how long. But the issue was absolutely fantastic, and I learned so much about the origin of Mon-El. It was really, really cool.
That's a good one. I have never read it.
Oh, it's fun. It was a lot of fun to read.
I have the collection that you're talking about, the
Yeah, you'll be able to read it.
Yeah, new Legion hardcover just came out too.
Yeah, I did get that too. But yeah, that other one I didn't cover, but it's the Ultra Boy one. That was pretty cool too.
And
And
I thought what you were reading from like Superboy, because that 75 years of Superboy or whatever it turns out to be just came out fairly recently too.
yeah, no, this one's really cool, and it's interesting to know that Ultra Boy only has penetrovision. That's its only superpower, and so it'll be interesting as I keep reading. Is there something that happens that gives him the other powers, or do they just
Just
retroactively say,
retroactively say,
yeah,
now you have all this, yeah.
exactly. Yeah, I'll be interested to know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty weak in the Superboy. Like, my collection doesn't have very
Yeah,
much.
I have maybe two issues of Superboy before it became Superboy.
Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, yeah.
Very, very few
Did you get
issues, but
Valor? Speaking of.
no, I never did. I never did.
Okay.
I mean, is that Mon-El or is it
Yeah,
somebody
it's
else?
Largand.
Okay. Why do they
Just going
call him
by a
that?
different, I think it's a post-crisis thing.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's a good series.
I'll have to check that out. I wonder if it's on the app.
I have not
Only
checked.
23 issues. I easily crank that out.
Yep, I got that series. But that's kind of like Mon-El's own series.
Yeah. No, that'd be interesting to read, though.
I think it came out of one of the events, or Legion. Maybe it came out of Legion, but there
It
Zero
says
Hour.
the Darkness Within Aftermath tie-in.
Yeah, I knew it was something.
Yeah. He went
I
on
thought
to
it was
play
Invasion, because I know
H2O.
Invasion launched Legion, the one with the L dot E dot G.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, Legion 89, 90, 91, that, and then Rebels. That's a good series if
Oh,
you
the
don't have
last
that.
issue, Mike, 23, if you're I don't know if you're looking in the database, but the last issue of Valor is the 0 hour tie-in.
So it ends with 0 hour.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah, Sturt Immonen on covers. Kurt Busiek. I've been seeing his name pop up a lot lately. I'll be talking about something that he did. But what I'm going to talk about is Images of Shadowhawk.
Cool.
So I've never read this before. Did you ever get Shadowhawk back in the day?
I only got the first volume, and then like much later on, like a later volume, I want to say like the fifth volume, but that's it.
Well, Images of Shadowhawk, I think I avoided like the plague because I didn't like Keith Giffen's art at the time. I mean, Trencher had just come out, and you got to be honest, like Trencher does not fit into the Image artists. Like,
No.
it's like the opposite. But this series was created by Jim Valentino for rotating artists to come in and tell their story, and then another creative team would come in. And it was supposed to be an ongoing, but it didn't work out. I know he was having trouble with Mark Texaria because he was supposed to do the second arc, and he never finished it. So I don't like know what happened about it,
Yeah.
but this series was Keith Giffen and Alan Grant, so you get two big names there, and it's a story of there's a mob informant. His name is Blowhole, and Shadowhawk goes after him. Shadowhawk. Just so people know a little bit about Shadowhawk was like the Spectre, the John Ostrander Spectre. It sort of dealt with the AIDS virus at the time because the AIDS virus was like a big scary thing back in the day. And Shadowhawk was created because one of the instead of doing like Two-Face where they threw acid in the guy's face, one of the guys that he was a DA. He got injected with the AIDS virus.
I
So
don't remember any of that.
yeah,
I'm gonna have to reread this
he
stuff.
got injected with the AIDS virus, and then there was a female cop, I don't remember her name, but she sort of trained him, and then there was I'll get their names just 'cause it's important. But let me close that. Christina Reed. So she's one of the cops that trained him. And Carlton Sum is one of the guys that built the armor. So he trained and trained and then built this armor, and he became like a hardcore vigilante. And the one thing that you'll probably remember about Shadowhawk, at least the one thing that's always stood out, he was the vigilante that would break people's backs. Like he would snap their backs. I forgot about the AIDS thing.
I totally forgot about
I
that.
forgot that he was injected, and he ended up dying of AIDS. So his name was Paul Johnstone, and then I think he died in the first series. He died pretty early on. A
Yeah,
matter
I
of
don't.
fact, there was one series where I was reading and it was a officer in the Marine Corps, and he's like, "Why do you kill all the black characters off?" And he was just like naming them, like Chapel, Spawn. Well, Spawn wasn't dead, but Spawn was dead like since issue one.
Right,
But uh,
that's the point
but
of
yeah,
it.
it's kind of like the point of the character. But he was like label, saying, "Why are they all dead?" But he got the AIDS virus and became a vigilante and started breaking people's backs. Well, Blowhole is an informant, or he's going to be an informant, but the mafia is after him. And Shadowhawk's also after him. And I don't understand the logic behind this, but Shadowhawk runs him down in the first issue and breaks his back. Like, but leaves him alive, so he's sort of in the hospital as an informant, and he's trying to keep him alive. But the other interesting part is this is a Trencher comic as much as it is a Shadow comic. So Keith Giffen decided to take advantage of this 3-issue Shadowhawk series and put his character Trencher in. Well, Trencher is kind of like a bounty hunter of souls, if you will. He'll hunt down people and that are bad people and absorb their souls or take their souls away. And he's gonna go after Blowhole. So this ends up in a battle between Trencher and Shadowhawk, and it's kind of humorous because Trencher, the first meeting, he just like lights him up. Like, he's luckily that he has a body armor, because Keith Giffen, in the vein of like Lobo, where it's got kind of like humor and over the top violence, he just like shoots him like 100 million times. Like, there's not an inch of his armor that doesn't have a bullet hole in it. And Trencher has this Skeets kind of entity that's always in his head talking to him called Phoebe. And Phoebe's always there. She helps heal him. She helps do He's got regenerative abilities. He's got like superpowers. I think the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. Or no, she has the ability to inject adrenaline into him. And she can inject so much adrenaline into him that he could face off with Supreme, which, if people don't know who Supreme is, it's kind of like the Superman of the Image Universe. So that's pretty powerful. But they go back and forth because they're both one of them is trying to protect Blowhole so he can testify. The other one is trying to steal his soul and kill him. And Trencher ends up getting the better end of the deal, because he eventually blows up like a whole hospital wing with him in it and kills him. But there are scenes like where their first scene is Shadowhawk, like he breaks Trencher's back, but Trencher can heal, so he can recuperate. And there's another scene too where Trencher gets cut in half by Shadowhawk, and he has to regenerate before he actually kills Blowhole. But he ends up killing Blowhole, and in the midst of this, there's also chaos because the mafia is trying to kill Blowhole too, so he can't testify. But it ends up in they both go their own ways again, and Trencher sort of wins. But the interesting part of it, and I didn't intend to do the to read the next book, but it just happened to be there. I didn't know that Shadowhawk Gallery was the next book in line. Like, I didn't know that that was like the next published book. It was just coincidence that I said, oh, this is just going to be like a Shadowhawk art book. And
That's what I would assume.
it is interesting because a lot of artists did it, and it's kind of fun going through those things and picking out who you recognize and who you don't recognize, and then comparing it to the list of artists to see who they are. Some of them I like knew, like the Mark Texaria one was pretty easy to pinpoint. Some of the Marat Michaels stuff was easy to pinpoint because it looks like Rob Liefeld. But there were some interesting ones in there that I wouldn't have known, like the creator of Faust and stuff. They did a Shadowhawk, and I wouldn't have known it was their work. But What was more interesting about Shadowhawk Gallery is it had a backup story that followed up on this images of Shadowhawk because Phoebe is sort of starting to help Shadowhawk, and it's supposed to lead up into the new series, which I think is Shadowhawk 2, might be Shadowhawk 3, but I think in the first three issues of that Shadowhawk, Trencher appears. So there's still more Trencher and Phoebe to come in Shadowhawk. I just haven't read them yet, but it was a lot of fun. This was a cool series.
I think we need new Shadowhawk.
Yeah, I tried to ask Jim, but he hasn't replied if we'd get some Shadowhawk. He replied to me about who the next creative team was supposed to be, Mark Texaria. But I later on kept reading, and in issue three, you know it's Mark Texaria, so or Tex, whatever you want to call
Yeah.
him. Mostly know Tex from Ghost Rider and some of those darker books, Midnight Sun stuff. That's what I know Tex from.
The looks like the last thing that he did, or last thing that we had for Shadowhawk, is that one that's in the database saying fifth series, which was 11 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Do you have, because I know, you've been talking about this a lot, at least you were a couple months ago, a lot about like Eric Larson stuff. Do you have the Eric Larson cover of Shadowhawk? Volume 5, number 1.
Let me see. Probably not if it's not cover A.
Not, well, it says cover A, but it's really just a plain number 1 is the main cover. Then 1A one, is the alternate.
I do. I do have the 1A.
Oh, that's cool.
I
Yeah,
don't
it
have
looks,
the
I like that.
one.
I have the 1. That's the one that I have.
One looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Like, it's great that I have the Eric Larson one, but I think one is by far the better cover. That's Tone Rodriguez that does one. But I like that one because it's just the Shadowhawk head armor with the skull in it.
Yeah, it is
Yeah.
cool for sure.
I don't have like the alternate covers. I have a full run of this one. I've been wanting to the next book I'm going to cover, which is going to be New Shadowhawk, and that series is awesome. But I don't have 4, 6, and 7, and from what I could tell, my comic shop hasn't had them for quite some time. So I
Oh.
might just bite the bullet and buy a full run off of eBay and just
Yeah.
have duplicates of some because I can't find those issues. I can't find 4, 6, and 7. And I'm kind of torn because I can read issue 5, but I'd rather wait because I'm enjoying it so much that I'd rather fill the story in
Yeah.
and not read it out of order.
What
But and I
is
kind of want to get.
Valentino doing with Image? What role does he?
He's like a president or something.
Yeah, I know that they all have like executive
He's a
roles now.
president and he still has his shadow line. Like, I don't know what's coming out of it now, but there's two or three books, and the one that I know is Bomb Queen. So,
Why doesn't he do more Shadowhawk?
I don't know. He's pretty old.
Yeah.
So, Rob Liefeld's I think he's a year older than me, and he was the young pup.
Yeah,
No,
he
he
was a
was
young.
the baby of the group. So he's my age. Just pretend he's my age. Well, I
Right.
think Valentino had like
Oh, he was the
15 or
oldest out of that
15 or
group
20
for sure.
years on
Yeah.
him.
Yeah.
So he might be in his 70s or late 60s.
Yeah, I would say 60s.
So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't
He
want
was
to.
a good. I really enjoyed his art. It was a lot more like traditional,
Yeah.
but I really enjoyed his
Well, he
art. Oh,
did
I
a
just
long run of Guardians of the Galaxy.
did. He's 68. I just looked.
Yeah, so I was pretty on the number.
Yeah,
I said
he's
70
almost
or late
70.
60s.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think he's the he's like sort of like you have your big four, well, your big five, and then he's kind of like the sixth man, and then Portacio is kind of like the seventh because he
Yeah.
didn't he
He's
sort
in
of
there.
was like not very visible. Like he did wet works and then he sort of vanished for I don't know if there was like personal stuff or what was happening, but he was very prolific at Marvel.
Yeah.
And then he sort of did some Image and then went to the side where Valentino was there. I think Valentino had like a lot of ideas to make his universe. Like I've been posting things like the Pact and all this stuff, and Kurt Busiek was in his shadow line at one time, pumping out things like Allies and Regulators and all kinds of different titles. And I think he was trying to grow it, and then the collapse happened.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I was looking at all their ages, and you're right. He's by far the oldest. Silvestri is like 62, but everyone else is like between 53 and 59.
Yeah. And then Todd is going into like he's blowing up his universe into four titles, so
That's
that's gonna
insane to
be
me. After
awesome.
what, 25 plus years?
Yeah,
Like,
he
oh
used
my
to have like four titles though, so he had Sam and Twitch and
God. Yeah, true.
Curse of the Spawn and
Killed by a
all
Bicep
kinds of
Life.
different Spawn titles. Spawn the Undead, and there's a lot of titles.
Yeah, I'll try them out for sure.
The Dark Ages, all kinds of different things.
You know what effect that you and Bill have on people that listen to your podcasts. Like I hadn't read a Spawn or Savage Dragon book in 20 plus years until these past 12 months. Actually, Spawn's a little bit farther than that. That was more like a year and a half ago. But yeah, they're both on my pull lists.
Yeah, he's creating a lot of Todd McFarlane's creating like a lot of characters. Like
Yeah, he
he well he's called like he already had Gunslinger created and a lot of the Redeemer and a lot of characters, but there's a lot of it like Monolith. He's new and there's a new I forget what they call the new Spawn, but there's a lot of new characters.
Yeah, there
So
is.
he's like pumping out like a Spawn universe, kind of like the symbiotes and Venom.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably seeing that. He's like, hell, I've got a bunch of these characters I've already created, plus some more ideas I've had. I can do the same.
Yeah. Well, there was
That's
that
cool.
comic book called Image United,
Yeah,
and I
I've got
never
that.
finished it.
No.
But I would love I would have loved for it to have finished.
I don't think that the rest of that's ever coming out, though.
The idea was awesome because they were passing pages from one to another, and everybody was doing it. I just think they lost some pages and they just lost the energy. That's what I heard. In
Well,
other
yeah.
words, they shipped some stuff and it got lost in the process and it kind of like lost steam.
And as it would be for, any time you have that many creators passing pages back and forth, you have some that are done, and you have some that haven't even started whatever issue they were on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everything in between. So it's had to be tough to actually to coordinate that for sure.
So what else do you got?
Let's see. The other one that I have today is Fantastic Four, number 185. This is an oldie, and I have the actual issue of this one. On the cover, we have the the Fantastic Four going up against all these gargoyles. And Human Torch says, Agatha Harkness has taken Little Franklin. And Sue says, and we'll have to defeat an army of gargoyles to get him back. Here there be witches. And it's the writers Len Wein and George Perez and Joe Sinnott were the illustrators. So in this one, it picks up where it left off in the previous issue, where Franklin has been abducted, and they're trying to get a hint on where he would be, and they have some wreckage that survived from the previous issue, and he does, and Reed does some scanning on that and finds locates exactly where this wreckage actually was created. It's a metal ore, and it was in a secluded area deep in the Colorado Rockies. And you learn that Reed Richards does not have any powers at this time. He'd been depowered. However, he, before leaving to go to Colorado, he put on these auto extensors that he designed all the way back in FF39 when he lost his power, when they all lost their powers apparently back then. And he wears them over his arms and under his costume. And it's like, it's almost like Machine Man, if you want to picture that. Like he can now extend his arms, kind of like Machine Man does. So it's really a device that allows him to do this. So they get on the pogo plane and they take off to Colorado. And as they get close, they see this tiny, tiny little village that is up in the mountains, and very small, looks very like old fashioned, almost like an old like New England vibe. So they land farther away from there because they don't want to spook anyone or even give anyone a clue as to who they are or what they're looking for. So Johnny had stuffed a bunch of boxes in the pogo plane, and they take them out, and he's able to assemble an actual automobile, and they all put on regular clothes. The thing puts on his old, like, you know, trench coat and hat and sunglass type get up, like he used to, and they drive into town in a tiny little village named New Salem, and they're the only car on the street. Well, they go ahead and park, and they start looking around, seeing if they can get any information. And this man approaches, and he calls himself Nicholas Scratch, and says that he's the mayor, and he extends his welcome. And
just out of curiosity, there is a Nicholas Scratch in Batman too, right?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a nickname that's used sometimes for Satan.
Oh, okay. Because there was, do you remember there was a Nicholas Scratch in Azrael in the big crossover, No Man's Land or something?
I don't.
He was the rock and roll dude.
Oh, really? No, I don't remember. Yeah, but that's probably why it's like another ID of Satan, the devil.
Ah.
So obviously.
I did not know that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyhow. But this guy's very pleasant, and you know, he's extending any help that he can give them, you know, while they're staying in the town. And Reed says that, you know, they're here to do a little research about some possible mining in the area. And he's like, well, that's out of my field, but why don't you accompany me to City Hall and we'll see what we can find for you. And so he said, oh, that's great. So Sue and Reed go, and Johnny and Ben decide to just kind of walk around. Looking out from a window, a second floor window, is Agatha Harkness, and she looks down and sees those two walking around. She's like, oh, they came just as I knew they would. And there's this guy in there and holding like a stick. He looks very threatening. And he's saying, "A brat's crying again, old woman. Either you keep him quiet or I will." And there's Franklin, looks about 5 years old, maybe a couple of years younger. So Agatha picks him up and starts rocking him, making him feel a little bit better. And so she's just looking out the window still, and Reed and Sue meet back up with Ben and Johnny and say, this has been a dead end. We looked, just came back from City Hall, looked at town records, and that metal could not have come from here. So we're going to have to go home and start all over. Agatha starts panicking and saying, they're giving up. They're returning to the car. If they leave New Salem, all hope for young Franklin and myself will be lost. I've got to do something before they pass the city limits. So all of a sudden they're about to hit city limits and this huge wall of flame just pops right up right in front of their car. And at first they ask Johnny what the heck he's doing. And he's like, "I didn't do this." So Reed obviously says, "Well, if he didn't do that, something's going on. Let's get the answers back in town." So as they're about to drive back, all the townspeople are kind of like staring, like they're out in the town square. And it's like, well, it's time for deception this past. And all of a sudden there's this flash of light and they're all wearing these like green, olive, colored robes, all exactly the same. And, this one guy comes out with a purple cloak and a staff, and it's Nicholas Scratch. So it's quite clear that he's the one that's in charge of this. And Sue, starts, they get back to the town, they see this, and Sue starts screaming, and Nicholas Scratch says, "I'm going to be able to do whatever I please as long as I hold your child and his governess, my captives." So, of course, it's clobbering time. And they go at it. They start fighting. But before they can get anywhere close to their objective, Nicholas Scratch uses the power of his Satan staff and makes all the gargoyles in town come to life, and they start attacking. So they're at first the Fantastic Four are actually holding up very well. They're having really not much trouble with them at all. But so Nicholas Scratch, he just turns the gargoyles back to stone, and instead he kind of does this ritual where every member of the town all clasp hands and they start chanting, and suddenly everyone's starting to feel weak. The thing suddenly doesn't have control over his own body. He's punching himself in the face over and over again. And is like, "I can't control myself. I can't control myself." Sue starts getting wrapped up in the actual ground. Like she's being sucked into the ground and being covered over. The thing punches Reed right in the back of the head, knocks him out. Human Torch starts flying all over the place. He can't control it. We've got Sue suddenly floating up into the air encased in this rock and like a missile hitting Johnny, and they both are knocked out and fall to the ground. So Ben's the only one left and he's still staggering. He's like, "I'm going to stop you." And Nicholas Scratch is very impressed with the fact that Ben is still actually up, but he goes ahead and a power blast from his staff right in the thing's face, and he collapses into unconsciousness. And he's like, "Well, you guys, that was pretty impressive how long you stood up against us. But, what chance does any mortal have against a city ruled by witches?" And that's the end of this issue. So I remember this. This is the actual issue that I had since, I was a little kid. And, I was inspired to pull this one out and read it today.
Okay. Were you inspired to read it because of A, George Perez?
No.
B, because of Agatha Harkness?
Yes.
Or C, because of Nicholas Scratch?
Agatha Harkness.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It was...
Because there's spec on both.
Oh, and Nicholas Scratch too?
Yes, because of... Well, I don't know if that's died down because of the latest episode, but there was a lot of speculation about Nicholas Scratch being.
From the WandaVision.
Yeah.
You read? Have you? Are you all caught up? Or are you still behind?
I'm caught up.
Me too.
I'm not surprised because I knew that.
Yeah, well, I don't think
I kind
anyone
of
that's a
knew that
comic book
initially
fan. I
just
don't think that
because of
was
the
a
name.
exactly. Yeah,
So
I
like
mean,
I made an association like really early on.
yeah, I love her as an actress. So
Yeah,
I.
it didn't surprise me at all because I kind of knew it like because of my comics history and when the name came up.
Yeah.
And plus she's big. She's sort of like a in terms of Vision and Scarlet Witch, she's sort of a big character.
Yeah.
So I just anticipated that character would show up at some time.
After the episode was over, I did a Google search and I showed Stacy, I go, this is what she looks like in the comic books.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Barb. She's a old lady. I said she looks older than Aunt May.
Yep. Oh yeah, for
And
sure.
creepier.
But yeah, that was I
We were
just was
talking
surprised
about
to get
creepy
Nicola.
elderly people. She's one of them. She,
Exactly. When I think
yeah.
Agatha Harkness, I think of this cover because this was probably the first Fantastic Four that I ever bought,
Yeah.
and you know she's right on the cover, so like I that's the my first experience with her. So
I
I'm like,
could
oh
see the
yeah.
actress in Greta and the one in the M. Night Shyamalan picture playing
Exactly.
Agatha.
She totally
'Cause
could.
I remember having an early issue of Fantastic Four with Agatha in it, and it had no cover, and it was one of the ones that I got from the dump, and it always freaked me out. She was like a very scary looking character.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. That's a we talked a little bit about a couple of weeks ago, but that's a fun show that WandaVision is. I think they're doing a good job.
Yes. I kind of miss the happier times though. I like my favorite
The
episode is where they did the magic show. I just love that. But
sitcom.
that was like sitcom comic timing, like really well done.
Yeah, for sure. That's good
What
though.
is her first appearance though? That's not Agatha's first appearance.
No, that one's definitely not. She'd already been.
What is her first appearance?
Oh, I'm gonna have to look it up now.
Do you have it?
No, X or Fantastic Four 94.
Yeah, that one's the one that's going. I don't know if I have it or not. Let me check. I have quite the run, but I do have
1970.
gaps. I do have it.
Good. I do not. That was that's. I have very, very little before pre, probably pre 180.
Yeah, my earliest FF is 7.
Seven? Did you say
Yeah,
seven? You know what
7.
my earliest one is? 52.
And then I have a big gap until 22. And then I have 29 and 31, which is the first appearance of Franklin. And then I have a lot. Like, I got 33, 34, and then 38, like almost till the end.
I've got seven issues prior to
Am I missing
100, and
50? I'm
only a
missing
handful of
50.
other ones before like 180.
Yeah, I'm missing 50 too, which is an expensive one. That has Silver Surfer on the cover. I'm missing 49, which is a very iconic cover. But I have 48, which is the first appearance of Galactus.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
And I have a lot of the Inhuman stuff just because I've always liked them and I try to find all. I think Medusa is the Only one that I'm missing the first appearance of. But anyway, my next book is going to be the new Shadowhawk.
Oh,
So,
cool. Okay.
I read number one through three, and this series is by Kurt Busiek. So, I always associated him like he does some really. He's a pretty doggone good writer, like no
Yeah, he
matter what
is.
he does. And he did it with James W. Fry the Third. And ironically, I just read some Star Trek, and James Fry was doing that.
Hey, look who the anchor was.
Who was the inker? Oh, it's Andrew
Yeah.
Peepoy. That's right. That's the other cool coincidence is it's a really well drawn comic. It looks awesome. And this takes place after the death of Paul Johnstone, and he was Shadowhawk. And there's a captain called Arturo Reeves, who keeps seeing a Shadowhawk, and he's trying to uncover who he is, like who is the new Shadowhawk. And he originally thought it was Louis Jacks, who was his. He's another detective that worked in the same precinct, and he did not get the job of police chief. So he's like, maybe he's jealous. Why is he quitting? And this Louis Jacks is a very interesting character because he is well to do. Like he's loaded and then became a detective, which seems really odd. But he could have went into the family business and made a lot of money. And when Arturo made police chief, he quit. So he's like, well, this is odd. Why did he quit? Did he want my job? Why did he quit? Why did he go back to his family business that he absolutely hated? And so that's part of the mystery. And then the other part of the mystery is the two characters that I had mentioned before, Christina Reed, and not Carlton's son, but Carlton has a brother. And they're back in town. So you're like, well, who's this new Shadowhawk guy? Also, you have this gangster called Antonio Scarpelli. And he tries to kill Arturo Reeves in the first issue, I think it was. And the new Shadowhawk saved his life. So the mystery unveils itself, and it also gives you there's a Savage Dragon appearance, which I was really happy. He only appears in one panel, but he's there along with Spawn and a lot of the other characters. But it gives the backstory of Paul Johnstone and how he's injected by the AIDS virus and trained by Christina Reed and armor made by Carlton Sum, and how he was a back-breaking vigilante. It introduces a character called Mickey Lippincott, and this is one of those weird side stories that you don't like know what the linkage is at all. But he's in an old bookstore of tattered books, and for some weird reason, he decides to steal this book with a demon on it. It almost looks like the Army of Darkness book. Like he did not want to pick up this book, but he decides he doesn't have enough money and wants to take it anyway. So he puts it under his shirt, and then he doesn't want to look like a thief, so he buys something really cheap, and then takes the book away. And then he like wonders, he goes, did the guy who was selling the books know I took the book? Because he sure looked like he knew I took the book. But anyway, he gets like turned into this weird creature called Tome. And I don't know his linkage, but he has some linkage to Shadowhawk. It hasn't been revealed yet. But there's that character. There's a female character called Trophy who gets hired by Antonio Scarpelli to kill Shadowhawk, and what she is sort of like is a Kraven the Hunter, She just like hunts down people, gets paid for it, and that's like her job. And there's also a character called Glorch, who's a slime creature. And Shadowhawk does have fights with these characters. He does defeat Trophy, but he doesn't. He comes to a standstill with Glorch. And that's the scene where the police chief thinks he's eating dinner with that Reed character, who he thinks is Shadowhawk. And sure enough, they're like, Glorch is tearing apart the city. And Reed leaves. Like, he comes on the TV, and it's like, ah, so Reed is definitely Shadowhawk, because he's sitting at the table alone, and then Shadowhawk is there fighting Glorch, and Reed is gone, and he's like, huh. He even tells him, I think you're Shadowhawk, and he goes, I'm not Shadowhawk. But they're watching he's watching the fight, and later on Reed comes by him and he puts his arm around him, and he goes, I guess I'm not Shadowhawk. And he puts his arm around the detective chief, and he's like, huh? He thought he really was Shadowhawk. But mysteriously he has a black eye now, so you're like, what is going on? Are there two Shadowhawks? What's going on? And then there's a scene where that Trophy is hunting down Shadowhawk, and she runs into the Christina Reed and Carlton son's brother at the graveyard of Paul Johnstone, and she tries to attack them, and then the police chief thinks, well, they're Shadowhawk or someone. Something to do with Shadowhawk, but then Shadowhawk appears. So it's like, so they've ruled off like three of the suspects, and you still don't know who Shadowhawk is. So it's kind of like a mystery. It's a really cool story. It's fun. It's well drawn, and there's like all kinds of characters. And Kurt Busiek has like many plot threads in each issue. So it's like a soap opera in the sense that you're following a bunch of different characters, and you don't know exactly where it's gonna go. I like that. I like it. I liked it a lot, and I wanted to keep reading, but I didn't have four, so this is the one that I told you I might just buy a bundle on eBay, because I
Can't
can't
find
find the
four.
issues. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. So you have five,
I
six, and
want to
seven?
finish the stories, yeah. And the other thing I just want to point out is I kept reading. I talked about Deadpool, Merc with a Mouth. That is so good.
What did you read of that? I don't have anything else. So if you want to, because I thought with Chris
No,
being, I thought he would be on, so.
it's just you don't have anything else, so I'll
No.
just talk quickly about the Merc with
Yeah.
a Mouth.
Please.
That's the head of the Deadpool from the Marvel Zombie universe. This kind of gets into the WandaVision a little bit, because of the Man-Thing protects the Nexus of realities, and it's in Florida. Well, Deadpool gets a conscience. It doesn't want to give the head to AIM, or he doesn't want Hydra to have it, because he's like, wow, if there's a Marvel zombie infestation on Earth, we'll all end up dying. So he's like, I just got to return this head home. So he goes to Florida, where the Nexus is, and runs into Man-Thing, and then he like hops different universes. And that's where I told you I wanted to see the first appearance of Lady Deadpool. He was hopping universes, so he runs into like a Billy the Kid Deadpool. He runs into like a Major Deadpool, who's like a Sergeant Rock type Deadpool. And then he runs into Lady Deadpool on these different worlds, trying to find the Marvel Zombie world. And the Lady Deadpool skipped to a different artist. It was Rob Liefeld. He got to draw it. He did a really cool scene where Lady Deadpool kisses Deadpool. They lift their masks, and their faces are all burnt and ugly, and they start to kiss. And it's weird how he drew it, because if you look at the heads, the way the heads are shaped, and the way their shoulders are and everything. It aligns to be like a heart, like a red
Oh.
heart, and it looks really cool the way he drew it. But they leave that world, and he's not very successful. And at this time, Dr. Voodoo is the Sorcerer Supreme, because you got to remember that Doctor Strange gave that role up for a while. I think it was quite some time where he
Yeah, that's
wasn't
right.
Sorcerer Supreme. And Voodoo sent him to the world of zombies. So now they're in the world of zombies, and he's with Dr. Betty, that sexy Dr. Betty. And they're on the zombie world and trying to get, they're going to get killed by Clover. Well, I can't remember her name. Is it Cloverleaf? She was the one that was in Marvel, A Contest of Champions. You remember Marvel Contest of Champions introduced like heroes from every.
Yeah.
She was the Irish one looking for the. I can't remember if her name is Clover, but she's the zombie. She's there with Moon Knight and a Tigra zombie, and they end up getting defeated and then running away from a bunch of zombies.
Shamrock.
Shamrock, yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember the name, but I knew I could image the costume's all green. She looks like a lucky charm. But and her abilities are luck. So it's kind of funny how Deadpool takes her out, because he makes her wish that she was dead. But not dead, because she's already dead, but he makes her wish she was alive or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a really good I'm really liking it. Like I've become a Deadpool fan, and I think this series goes along. Like if you like the movies, I don't think there's anything you wouldn't like about this, because you could just picture Ryan Reynolds, making these quips out of his vo head.
Yeah,
It's really well done. It's by
that's
Victor
cool.
Gershler. And let me see who the artist is. Bob, I can't remember his name, but he's really good. Deadpool. Merc. This guy's amazing. Bongdazo. He draws a lot like. He's a cross between Ed McGuinness and. Maguire, Kevin Maguire, like in terms of like facial expressions and
Okay, good.
very sexy line,
Wow.
and it's really good. And then you have crazy covers by Arthur Sodom, who did the Marvel Zombie covers, and they're all like covers to movies. So you could
Yeah,
actually go look at
I
the
love those covers.
covers. They
They
have
are
like
amazing.
Jaws and Aliens was one of them. I don't know what number 7 is. That one I couldn't tell what cover the movie that was. Eight is a
Oh,
thousand years
I don't
BC
remember.
with Raquel Welch on the cover. I remember that one.
Yes, I mean, and I mean, it's done so. What is that, Tigra?
Yes, that's Tiger.
Tigra?
That was the zombie issue where they're back on the planet.
It's just he did a great job with these covers.
Yeah, so I know what
Back
that movie
to
is.
nine is Mrs.
Seven.
Robinson. What's it called? The Graduate.
Yeah,
Professor Brown.
that one I knew. I knew The Graduate. Because you have
Awesome.
the leg, that's iconic.
Of
That's
course.
Mrs. Robinson is what it is.
Yeah.
Not sure what 10 is.
No, me neither. I think I'd have to like look these up.
11 looks like a samurai type movie or something. I don't know
Yeah,
what that
like
is.
then doing others like 12 is the Nirvana cover, so that's not even a movie. That's an album cover.
That's a great cover though. It has the taco coming on
Yeah, perfect.
the bottom.
And of course,
13 is
Silence of
easy.
the
13
Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
These are wonderful covers, though. It's almost worth like if you
Pretty
can't,
Woman is number 5.
if like even if I don't want to like look for each issue, I would be willing to like get the book and hope that the covers are at least included in there as well.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it if you like the movies. Number three, or if you like Marvel Zombies, because it's like in that vein, because they're carrying around the Deadpool head. Number three is Day of the Dead or Dawn of the Dead. Number four, I can't make out. Do you know what number four is?
I don't. I mean, and it could be. I mean, it's possible it might could be an album cover too, but I don't. It doesn't look familiar to me.
Yeah, that's something to to trace down so I could see what the movies are. But yeah. I know about 60% of them.
Yep.
Yep. So I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I guess it'll be a short one. Like I said, normally
when Chris is out sick or he's recovering anyway.
Yeah, hopefully he's feeling a little bit better.
Yep, sounded like he was. He just maybe was recuperating and didn't want to use his voice or something.
Exactly.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you very soon in 2 weeks. Rob is at Rob Krieger on Twitter. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. We're located at the Geek Brunch podcast.com website, and on Facebook it's Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, you'll be able to follow all the episodes there. Let me know, Rob, if you get through to get your Mylars. I want to get my Mylars. I'll let you know too.
Yeah, I left a reminder on my phone to try them again tomorrow. Hopefully they answer.
Yeah. It's been harder to get a hold of them. I don't know if it's because of the COVID or supply or what, but I usually have to leave a message and then get called back. I very seldom can get through the first time, yeah.
Yeah, I got to get some magazine size again too, because I've got enough for a while because I don't get a ton of magazine size books, but I don't want to be surprised when suddenly I don't have any. They start piling up, and plus it's hard to get them. Like last time I tried to order them, she said no, they're not taking orders.
Yeah, it's because of all these speculators. They're buying a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It seems like they're.
I heard though, like in terms of supplies, there's been like a supply drought, like whether it be cardboard or whatever they're looking for, there's a shortage.
It's just weird, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try again tomorrow though. I'll let you know if I get through before you do. I'll text you, otherwise let me know.
All right. I'll talk to you later and have a good week.
Yep, you too.
All right, bye.